You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up Here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Welcome to hour three of Daybreak. I am Brian Noonan. Jamie is off this week. She will be back with us on Monday. Doing a little business this time. No vacation. But that's all right. Well, we will endeavor to carry on until her return. We will also endeavor to carry on because Aaron Zommers is here today in for Parker. He's doing a yeoman's job behind the board there. And he's also ready to play something when I say, hey, guess what? It's time for something you need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
So much that we need to know. So little time to share it. And yet, here I am giving a big buildup instead of getting right to it. Well, President Trump has made another nomination, this time to lead FEMA. Boy, didn't we have somebody leading FEMA? Yeah, she didn't do too good. So he nominated Cameron Hamilton Monday to lead the Federal Emergency Management Agency, a notable comeback for the former Navy SEAL who was fired from his role as FEMA's temporary leader last year after he defended its existence. That makes sense. That part makes sense. The part that he's being nominated again makes no sense. The part where if you go against the administration and you defend something against their wishes, they fire you. But to bring him back, well, his nomination comes as the Trump administration has increasingly signaled it is backing away from promises to dismantle FEMA, an agency that has faced withering criticism by the president. The nomination of Hamilton, who argued abolishing FEMA was not in the country's best interest, is the latest indication of the change. Yeah, that was another one of those Doge things where we're going to get rid of FEMA and let the states handle it. Well, as you know, if you are in the middle of a natural disaster, whether it's flooding like we've had here in Wisconsin last year and this year, or whether it's a hurricane or tornadoes or wildfires, the states are not equipped financially to fully battle that on their own. We need federal help, and that's what FEMA is known for. Now, have they always run smoothly? Absolutely not. I'm looking at you, Hurricane Katrina, and others, but it is a necessary agency. So if confirmed, Hamilton will be the principal advisor to the president and Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen on emergency management and FEMA's first permanent administrator in Trump's second term. The agency has gone through three temporary leaders, including Hamilton's brief tenure from January to May of last year. He would take over an agency that is still reeling from Kristi Noem's turbulent leadership of the Department of Homeland Security, of which FEMA is a part. FEMA's workforce has been worn down by mass staff departures, policies that hamstrung operations, and a 75-day-long DHS shutdown that ended at the end of April. Hamilton will need to ensure the agency is prepared for summer disaster season, just weeks away from hurricane season starting, while answering to Trump, who is likely to expect major reforms after a council he appointed recommended sweeping changes last Friday. And if we know the president, we know he will be nothing if not patient, waiting for those changes to be implemented. Right. Now, Hamilton had never been a state or local emergency management director before. He had publicly criticized FEMA in the past, was a controversial choice the first time he was named in January of 2025. His friction with DHS officials began as he defended a federal role in supporting disaster-impacted states, tribes, and territories. DHS officials even subjected him to a polygraph test, accusing him and other officials of leaking details of a private meeting. He passed those polygraphs, but said he knew his dismissal was inevitable, and at a May 7th appearance before the House Appropriations Committee, Representative Rosa DeLauro, and a Connecticut Democrat, asked Hamilton if he believed FEMA should be abolished. This is the statement that got him in trouble. He said, I do not believe it is in the best interest of the American people to eliminate the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The next day, he was fired. But now he's back. Maybe. He's being nominated again. It's one more thing where this administration cannot make up their mind, acts in a rash manner, then either has to backpedal or try in another way to cover up a decision that they made by telling us they didn't make it and it was something else. And I'm sure we'll hear something about Hamilton having learned his lesson. I'm sure that will come from the president in some way. It's just a prediction. Take it for what it's worth. If you're on a poly market, maybe you put a couple bucks on it. But I would say he learned his lesson is going to be part of this new nomination process. Coming a little closer to home on You Need to Know, Racine County and two juvenile detention center staff members in Caledonia have been sued for allegedly using excessive force on a teen. In a statement, the county says it has made changes since this alleged incident. The teen's mother, Kiana Reed, brought the lawsuit against the county, and Robert and Jordan Knight, described in the suit as former and current security coordinators. The facility, the Jonathan Delgrave Youth Development and Care Center, opened less than a month before the incident is alleged to have happened. The lawsuit alleges that on May 27th last year, a teen who suffers from emotional and psychological disabilities became emotionally dysregulated, and the Knights egged him on and physically attacked him with excessive force that violated his Eighth Amendment rights. Now, in December, the state public defender's office released video footage of part of the incident, which appeared to show four staff members directing the then 15-year-old to move from a spot by the wall in the hallway, possibly to a nearby room, and the teen not moving. That is according to the Wisconsin Examiner. After a staff member took a swing at the teen, the situation devolved into a struggle. The teen was struck repeatedly by staff before and after he was on the ground. The lawsuit then says that his placement in the facility stemmed from being found guilty of a misdemeanor count of retail theft and a misdemeanor count of obstructing an officer. The lawsuit also alleges that the teen did not punch, kick, or otherwise try to injure the Knights during the incident. Robert and Jordan Knight hit him over 20 times with closed fists, knee strikes, and elbow strikes. On Friday, the Wisconsin Examiner asked the district attorney's office for a statement on why the office declined to pursue prosecution. District Attorney Tricia Hansen said in an email that the lawsuit does not change her decision. She said the burden of proof in a criminal case is significantly higher than in a civil case. In December, the public defender's office called for a full-scale investigation into conditions at the facility and the qualifications of staff members. In its statement last Friday, the county said it will respond to the allegations through the legal process and will not further discuss the pending lawsuit. All right. Well, we'll discuss it, and then we'll follow it and see what happens. Continuing on. Good news today, possibly for some businesses, because the first wave of tariff refunds are going to reach some American businesses today, according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The government launched an online portal last month where companies could file to get money back for tariffs that they paid that were ruled illegal by the Supreme Court, which said the administration exceeded its authority. Now, more than 330,000 importers paid the tariffs collected under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. That totaled $166 billion. As of April 26, at least 75,000 businesses have applied for refunds. That according to a court filing. Trump has railed against the Supreme Court 6-3 ruling, including two of the justices he appointed being targets of his venom, Neil Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett. In April, he said he would remember companies that didn't seek a refund. I don't know what that means. I think I know what that means. You probably think you know what that means. And if we all think we know what that means, there's a really good chance with this administration that that's what that means. That he would remember, I remember you did me a good turn. So, whatever. A CPB spokesperson told ABC News about 15% of the claims that have been submitted were rejected, typically just due to incorrect information or ineligible shipments being included on a claim. In recent weeks, major companies like General Motors have said they expect hundreds of millions of dollars in refunds. An analysis by Citi last month found that Walmart is due $10 billion, Target is owed $2 billion, Nike's due about $1 billion, and Macy's is owed $320 million. And you're thinking, oh, that's great, Brian. The businesses are going to get money back, and so we'll get a kickback because we overpaid because they were charging more because of the tariffs. Right? Right? Wrong. Sorry. No money for you, no soup for you, no tariff money for you. Consumers should not expect to see direct refunds. Many companies have said they'll use the refunds from the government to pay down debt, rehire employees, restock inventory, or perhaps lower prices. Yeah, notice how that comes last? We're going to get the money back. And yeah, we raised prices because of the tariffs. And sure, we're getting our money back, but we might lower prices. Maybe not. We'll see. It's less likely they will contact shoppers who paid higher prices over the past year and give money back for those purchases. Yeah, you think? All right, so good news for businesses, same old news for you and me. Now, our final thing today is, and I understand if you're tired of hearing stories about this administration. I get it. But they monopolize the news. This is a big one. Just because it affects a beautiful piece of American history that we've all seen in iconic photos. It's been the site of marches. It's been the site of protests. It's been the site of concerts. Just a beautiful thing. And I'm talking about the Lincoln Memorial Reflecting Pool. A nonprofit organization is attempting to stop the Trump administration's repainting of the Lincoln Memorial Reflecting Pool, alleging the plan, quote, willfully disregards legal limits established by Congress. I don't know if you've started to see this. They're using American flag blue to make it look like the inside of a pool. Now, if you don't know, the reflecting pool is made of granite, and the dark granite reflects the images around it, hence the reflecting pool name. The blue does not, so it's just going to look like a lap pool instead of reflecting not only the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, the trees that line it, just being a beautiful piece of America's backyard, but no. So the Cultural Landscape Foundation filed a lawsuit yesterday in D.C. federal court asking a judge to halt the renovations until the Trump administration gets approval from Congress. The lawsuit alleges about the project, which is part of the president's beautification efforts that include renovations to the White House East Wing, a planned triumphal arch near Arlington National Cemetery. They said every day that the resurfacing continues, the historic character of the reflecting pool is being further and fundamentally altered. Beautification efforts that include renovations are not beautification efforts at all. Because the reflecting pool and surrounding landscape are on the National Register of Historic Places as part of the National Mall Historic District, the lawsuit alleged that the Trump administration should have gotten approval for the changes under Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act. We know that does not happen. He does whatever he wants. The latest desecration of the reflecting pool is part of a pattern epitomized most notably by the rush to destroy the East Wing of the White House, in which the administration willfully disregards legal limits established by Congress, the lawsuit alleges. So, spokesperson for the Department of the Interior defended this to ABC News, saying, repainting the pool American flag blue and installing a new filtration system are wonderful additions. Thanks, but no thanks. All right, friends, let me ask you this. Can a white man be the subject of discrimination? I know, kind of touchy. I'll tell you why I'm asking that, and we'll get into it more when we come back. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
Very good. You know something? No soup for you! Come back 1 year!
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Welcome back. I am Brian Noonan. Jamie will be back next week. All right. This one, I saw this story, and it's. I think it'll spark a nerve. Maybe it won't. Maybe you're cool with it. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Here's a question for you. Can a white man be subject to discrimination? Or is this someone overreacting because they didn't get a job they wanted, and they're going to blame it on reverse discrimination, reverse racism, whatever? Is that even possible? All right, here's why I'm asking you this question. The EEOC, which is the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, they sued the New York Times yesterday, this was late last week, alleging that the news organization violated federal law by passing over a white male employee for a promotion. All right, right there, that sounds like sour grapes. I didn't get a job. We've all been passed over for promotions. Or we've all been passed over for a job. According to the EEOC chair, no one is above the law, including elite institutions. Now, the EEOC chair, coincidentally or not, fact is she's an appointee of President Trump, went on to say that there is no such thing as reverse discrimination. All race and sex discrimination is equally unlawful according to long-established civil rights principles. You mean like voting, which we're trying to, well, let's not get into that. Why quibble about specifics? She went on in her statement to say federal law is clear. Making hiring or promotion decisions motivated in whole or in part by race or sex violates federal law. There is no diversity exception to this rule. Now, the lawsuit was filed in federal district court in Lower Manhattan. It alleges that the New York Times violated Title 8 of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and Title 1 of the Civil Rights Act of 1991 in denying an unnamed employee promotion. The EEOC said the Times' emphasis on diversity, equality, and inclusion, DEI, which is, oh man, that is a Trump and MAGA bugaboo. They don't want you to worry about diversity. They don't want you to worry about inclusion. They just want you, they don't need equity. They want to make sure that, hey, whoever's best, right? Whoever's best gets the job. Unless whoever's best is not that white guy, then everybody's a DEI hire. It doesn't matter what their backgrounds are. We will say they are a DEI hire, which, in my opinion, is what's happening here. So, DEI, they're trying to get rid of it everywhere. You hear Pete Hegseth talk about it all the time. You hear Donald Trump talk about it all the time. It's their buzzword. The New York Times had a statement too. And they said the New York Times categorically rejects the meritless and politically motivated allegations that the Trump administration's EEOC is pursuing against us. That, according to their spokeswoman, she put that in a statement Sunday. That was after the newspaper first reported on the litigation. Throughout this process, the EEOC deviated from standard practices in highly unusual ways, blatantly weaponizing a traditionally independent government body to serve a predetermined value, or a narrative, rather. Is that starting to sound familiar? Is that claim ringing true for you? Because, I mean, they've come right out and said it, that they've weaponized the DOJ to go after political enemies. We know that the quote-unquote failing New York Times, which is how the president refers to it all the time, is not his, you know, probably not what he's reading during his morning constitutional, if he reads at all. No, he hates the New York Times. So this feels like just like a Justice Department move with a weaponization of the FCC, the EEOC, the Justice Department. He has enabled all of these entities to work as his private lapdogs to get revenge on people. How do you feel about this? Do you think a white guy can be discriminated against? You're hearing more of the facts of this story. Is this ringing true to you? Or does this sound like, I contend, just more weaponization of another department of the government against political rivals, perceived or real? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Let me finish this, and then Zomers, you had a, well, we got, let's get to your story time. You said you were discriminated against once for being a white guy?
Yeah, I was at a restaurant in a predominantly black neighborhood with my significant other at the time, and, you know, the staff kept cracking jokes like, oh, you get some lightning fast service. The other person like, shut up, stop it. And we got seated back in a corner. You could see families looking and asking to be seated away from us. Other people came in and got their food and left before we got food, but we're like, well, we're not just going to leave. I mean, we probably should have, but,
Yeah,
it was interesting, and it taught me a lot. I was like, okay, this is what some people experience just about every day of their lives. That's horrific.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was interesting.
I don't know if it, I will agree that it was a very unpleasant experience. I don't know if it rose to the level of discrimination because they let you come in and sit down.
Right, not legal discrimination.
Allegedly, they were going to serve you. But yes, you were treated in a discriminatory manner. But I still think that this is political because there was one Democrat on this commission. They voted against authorizing the lawsuit. She said everyone is entitled to employment protections under the law. The mere existence of DEI policies isn't enough to demonstrate misconduct. And I would agree with that wholeheartedly. But here we go. More of the weaponization of our government against political adversaries. On the other side of the news, I want to know, what changes have you made to your spending due to inflation and gas prices? A new report's coming out today, but I want to hear how it's affecting you on the ground here in Wisconsin. What changes have you made? We'll get into all of that and more as we head into the final half hour of the big program. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan. This is the Civic Media Network.
Fairly solid, better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network. Welcome to everybody across Wisconsin. A little rain today for a short period in Madison. Overall, pretty good day, though. And then it's going to get warm for the weekend, so enjoy the outdoors if you can. Okay, what changes have you made to your spending due to inflation, due to gas prices? Have you canceled trips? Are you combining trips? Are you not buying certain things at the store? How is this affecting you on a daily basis? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842 is my number. If you're calling in, be nice to Aaron. He's in for Parker today. So to get to me, you got to get through him. So an inflation report is coming out today, and it's going to provide a fresh gauge of prices as the Iran war ratchets up costs for gasoline, airfares, other expenses, farmers who cannot get fertilizer. It's everything. We are in trouble. Now, economists expect consumer prices to have risen 3.8% in April. With a surge in gasoline costs, that's when it took hold weeks into the war. It would mark a significant acceleration from the 3.3% in the previous month. Now, I don't claim to understand all these economic numbers. I never have, but I know on a day-to-day basis, on the ground here in Wisconsin, we're paying more for everything. So as recently as February, inflation stood at 2.4%, clocking in a tick above the Federal Reserve's target level of 2%. The Middle East conflict has prompted the Iranian closure of the Strait of Hormuz. You know that. That is the trading route where most of the, 20% of the global supply of oil goes through there. It's prompted one of the largest oil shocks ever recorded. While the U.S. is overall an exporter of petroleum, it means the country produces more oil than it consumes. However, the oil prices are set on a global market. U.S. prices move in response to swings in worldwide supply and demand. You know that crude oil is the main ingredient for auto fuel. That's about half of the price paid at the pump, according to Federal U.S. Energy Information Administration. So, according to this, the average gallon of gas yesterday stood at $4.52 a gallon, an increase of $1.54 per gallon since the war began February 28th. That amounts to nearly a 52% price jump in 2.5 months. Within weeks, the jump in prices could spread to groceries, furniture, just about any other item delivered by diesel-fueled trucks and tankers. That's what analysts are telling ABC News. The recent rise in prices has left many consumers feeling stretched, feeling sad, feeling frustrated, feeling lost. May consumer sentiment fell to the lowest level ever recorded, according to a monthly survey conducted by the University of Michigan. That survey has been going on since 1978, and this is the lowest. How are you dealing with it on a daily basis? What changes have come to your house? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Now, consumer spending, which amounts to about two-thirds of U.S. economic activity, could weaken if shoppers remain pessimistic. In theory, a slowdown of spending could slow the economy, and this is going to affect what the Fed does, and we know the president has it in for the Fed. He is not a fan of how slow they're moving. The president, it could be pressure more on the Fed to raise interest rates as a means of dialing back inflation. They have opted to hold interest rates steady at three consecutive meetings since the outset of this year. Before that, the Fed cut interest rates a quarter point three straight times. This is rough. And I know for me, it's made a difference in my driving. I have made a concerted effort to try to combine trips. My mom, unfortunately, at this point, lives about 45 minutes to an hour away from me. So that is, at this point, my biggest gas consumption. And I do that one to two times a week. Everything else, like today, I have to go to the grocery store. Well, I have three stops, but I'm able to get those three stops within one or two blocks of each other. So I'm going out one time today, and I am going to try to get all my errands done just to save some gas. And I've also looked at the flyers. I've used my grocery apps. I'm trying to save money there wherever I can, because things that I bought 6 months ago are now a dollar or two more expensive than they were before. So I am doing my best to do everything. And I know I'm not the only one. 855-75-CIVIC. Cindy is in Appleton. She wants to join the show. Good morning, Cindy.
Well, what I'm concerned about is people who are on a strict budget, like people with Social Security and stuff like that, how sure. that's affecting them. Because I'm just wondering, when the COLA comes around at the beginning of the next year, is it going to reflect the what has happened over, you know, the consumer index here to help people? Because I think that's where people are going to really be in trouble if we don't get a cost of living raise that affects or reflects the, you know, the cost, the real cost of living, which is really going to start to hurt people. I mean, it hasn't affected me too much yet, but I'm a school bus driver, and once I don't have bus driving for the summer and I lose that income, then it's going to affect me greatly. So,
yeah, things are rough, and that's a very good question, Cindy. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, it's if you're on that fixed income, if you're on your Social Security or whatever, and you see these prices going up, 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 there's really not much you can do. You can hope for a cost of living increase, but we see how the president feels about Social Security and all the other programs that are meant to be a safety net and meant to help people. And Social Security, you've been paying in your entire life, so it is not a safe, it's a safety net, but it's your money. We see his disdain for those policies. So I wouldn't hold my breath waiting for that cost of living raise. But it is a big deal. Zomers, you're a young man. I know you work in radio, so you're probably rolling in the dough. You've got you got more money than you can spend. Are you making any changes?
Yeah, I definitely am skewing more towards non-perishables and buying in large quantities. I mean, I had a Costco membership before, but sometimes I stuck with the convenience of shopping close and just buying stuff when I need it. I've been trying to plan ahead a lot more and buy, you know, a stupid big container of rice, buy a ton of chicken and freeze it, things like that. And also not going out as much. Not that I did a lot anyway, but stuff like that mostly is what I've been doing.
Yeah, the social stuff is, it's the first that most of us cut, but it's the one that we kind of still need. And need is a strange term, but you know what I mean. And I'm not talking about going out every day or every weekend and doing big extravagant things, but just to get a break, we all need those you know, we all need to go out. And that doesn't mean you have to spend a lot of money. But even now driving somewhere, if you just want to go somewhere and hike, you got to pay for gas. And then maybe one meal, but you got to get some snacks for the road, right? But, you know, so there's always places we have to cut. And you're funny when you said about the chicken and stuff. I watch, and when you really start following grocery store cycles, you can kind of tell when things are going to come back on sale. So I'm always watching. And when chicken breast goes on sale, they usually have a limit of 10 pounds. I go in, I buy those 10 pounds, I put them in the freezer. Ground beef goes on sale, I buy the limit, and then I put it in the freezer. And now, all of a sudden, you've got the freezer stocked with stuff. When you break it down, you go, oh, okay, this is a reasonable price over the time and per meal. You're getting a lot of meals in the freezer, and you're ready to go. And I know, like, well, you said you did it, Zomers. We're not the only ones. People are trying to find any way to make sure that they can save just a few bucks. How are you saving? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I know, you know, you put off big purchases, you put off non-essential purchases. But if you're a business person, if you're in the trucking industry, or you're dependent on things being delivered to you by truck, yeah, you might get a little of that tariff money back today, but you're also going to be paying more because now the firms that are bringing you your merchandise are going to have to charge more because their diesel fuel costs more. So once again, we're back in that cycle where if I'm business A and all of a sudden I have to pay more to get my product, well, I either can take a beating or I have to pass that cost on to the consumer. So once again, we are caught in that lurch. We're not getting tariff money back. We're going to end up paying more because of what's happening with the oil prices and the diesel fuel prices and everything else. And if you are a farmer, you're waiting for your first, even if, and I read a report that a lot of farmers had pre-ordered and paid for their fertilizer before the prices went up. Well, that's fine, but now they're having trouble getting it because the fertilizer can't get through the straits. So you tried to make a money-saving move there, and you're still getting screwed over because you're not getting your fertilizer. And, it's just bad. Now, I think we will all be waiting with bated breath to see how this report, when it comes out, if it is as disheartening as some of the numbers point to, how it is spun by the administration. Will we be gaslit again to tell us, no, you're overreacting, things are not expensive. The minute the strait opens, gas prices will plummet, which we all know based on economists and experts from around the globe are saying, no, it doesn't work that way. Even when the straits are open, it could take up to a year to get things back to where they were before this war started. So, you know, if you can believe what they're selling you, I don't know how you can also go to the store and pay higher prices and go to the pump and pay higher prices and not notice that. Because all you have to do is look at your bottom line. Are you paying more for everything? Yes. Are you having to make changes? Some of us are. I know people who have changed plans. We were talking to Jamie last week for this trip she's on. They were jumping through all kinds of hoops to find an airfare that was even remotely reasonable. And granted, it was a last-minute thing, but she had to go, you know, she was going to Rochester, then to Minneapolis, then all over. People are having to make changes, having to make sacrifices, and I know that's part of life. Is making changes and sacrifices. But it's not supposed to be this hard where you have to decide on, do I drive to work so I have to pay my money in gas, or do I buy food? And, well, do we have to eat just, you know, ramen or mac and cheese or cereal for every meal? Or can we afford to buy some chicken when it's on sale or some hamburger when it's on sale? Or does that have to go to gas too? And you know that vacation we were going to go on for the summer, or maybe that travel baseball trip we were going to take? That's not looking like it's going to happen, because between gas prices and hotel prices and grocery prices and restaurant prices, you don't have any options. It's going to be a rough summer and a rough few weeks for a lot of us. So, you know, plan accordingly, and we'll see what happens today when that report comes out, how it is spun and how it is responded to. When we come back, Frank, I'm going to want to ask you this question as a fellow big man. Chipotle is coming back, and because they're responding, they're at odds over their portion sizes. So, yes, we will talk amongst ourselves and with you at 855-75-CIVIC. Would you ever dare ask for more at a fast casual restaurant? That's what we're talking about next. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Newman, Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. I've just learned a new term in the show within a show, slop bowl. Frank is back joining us. I wanted to talk to you about this, Frank. First of all, this story centers around Chipotle initially, but then it gets into a bigger story about our appetites. So I've never been a big fan of Chipotle. It's well known in my house. My wife and daughter love it. My mom likes Chipotle. I have always thought they were overpriced for the amount of food you've gotten. And that is the basis of this. Chipotle is hearing that from a lot of people. And their CEO, though, has doubled down on a promise that customers can always get larger portions if they simply ask. But social media is saying, no, we don't buy it. So in a recent interview with Yahoo Finance, Chipotle CEO Scott Boatwright told the host that if customers think their portions are getting smaller, they should just ask for more. I don't want to pay double meat because that's what they do. If you say, oh, that's not enough chicken, can I have some more? Do you want double chicken? No, I just want one single order of chicken that's, you know, worth the 11 right. or 12 bucks I'm paying for. He went on to say it's always been our brand ethos and still is to this day. We serve big, beautiful bowls and burritos, full stop, no questions asked.
He did not say big, beautiful bowls.
He said big, beautiful bowls.
Oh, my gosh.
That is the quote. Why would I wouldn't say it was a quote if it wasn't. If you want more, just ask the team member. I promise you there's never a team member on that line that's going to say no. Mr. Boatwright.
Have you been to one of your restaurants?
No. You need to do an undercover boss because that's not true. I've seen them throw rice in the bowl that barely covers the bottom of the bowl. But here's the thing, Frank. This is why I brought you in, because you and I are both larger guys.
Yeah.
Even now that I've lost weight and I'm getting in better shape, I would never ask for more food because I would just think they're going, oh, sure, fatty. What do you need? Some more chicken? I'm paying for a decent amount.
Here's what I'll say. I think a lot of the frustration with this particular slop bowl restaurant.
All right, explain slop bowl, because you use
if
that term.
You don't know the term.
I do not know the term.
A slop bowl restaurant is a restaurant that's kind of like cafeteria style, where you build your bowl full of slop, basically. Do you want rice? Do you want beans? There's Chipotle, there's Qdoba, there's Naf
Would
Grill
for
Middle
Panda
East.
Express in that? Because it's cafeteria style, and they throw the stuff on the plate.
But it's not like a bunch of toppings. Like, it's...
True.
It's a finite amount of... If it was like, pick your protein, and then pick the sauce that goes on the protein, and then pick your veggies that go on the protein.
I see what you're saying. So the sauces and the corn and the cheese and sour cream.
I use that tongue-in-cheek. I really like these restaurants.
Oh,
right. They're delicious. I went to college at, like, the height of Chipotle. Like, where I never had to add... If I was ordering double chicken... It was the biggest burrito and the biggest bowl you've ever seen in your life.
Right.
And it's because I really wanted to indulge. There were times where you get the new guy or the new girl that's looking over at the manager and, like, shakes a little bit off the spoon.
Yeah.
That's what gets me going. It's like, what are we doing? You already picked it up.
Come on.
Put it in the bowl. No one's counting. whatever. They will accommodate if you want extra rice, if you want extra beans, if you want extra sour cream, all that stuff. It's only the protein where they really have an issue with.
But that's what people want. If I want these steak, you know, tacos or something, I want more than one cube of steak on there, and I don't want them made to be feel like a glutton because I say, hey, how about a little something for the effort there, sir and or madam?
And here's my tip for everybody.
Eat at home?
Well, two things. I mean, if you can, go for it. Make your own. Walk into Chipotle. Never pre-order.
No.
Ever pre-order.
No, you got to see these, you got to see what they're up to.
You got to see what you're working with.
Right.
You walk in and you have to study the scoops beforehand. If it looks like somebody that's giving you a normal amount, stay in line. Yeah. If you see somebody that's really chintzing everybody.
Oh, Frank broke up.
Can you hear me?
Now we
can. No, we heard chintzing everybody and then you stopped.
Then you leave. If it's somebody that's really stingy with the scoops of meat, you leave.
Yeah, but what if you walk in and there's no line and you walk right up to the counter? Your plan is kaput because now I don't know. I
go, well, hey, then you have to have the confrontation. Lift up a scoop. You have to have the gumption to say, look, I'm hungry. Could you at least put a little bit more on there?
Yeah.
And then if they argue with you about it and say it's a double scoop, then you just don't go back. Right. That's your right as a consumer.
That is. Well, consumers are calling Boatright clueless and said the company is getting eaten alive by their competitors. Yahoo Finance noted that in Q4, Chipotle's same-store sales declined by 2.5%. Those who order online made sure their interests were represented too. See, Frank, you're talking about them. One commenter said, how can you be a CEO and be this out of touch? What about the huge amount of people who order online? Train your employees to put a good amount. It's not that hard. You are the CEO. True that.
If Chipotle was always this bad, it wouldn't be going through this. But the decline in quality and quantity has been noticeable throughout the years as the price keeps increasing.
Well, the price keeps increasing. I've always had that feeling about Chipotle from the very beginning. If I want a burrito, I'll go to a burrito place or whatever. Now, I do go in sometimes for their bowls because of this, the diet I'm on, and I want to get like just chicken and the fajita vegetables and then some salsa and stuff. They never have the fajita vegetables. Never. No. I see the chafing dish and I see like 3 2-day-old peppers steamed to the side of this thing. And I'm like, do you have any more vegetables? No. Okay. And I'm not going in like at 5 minutes to closing time.
Hey,
I'm going in at all different times.
As with all restaurants, Brian, especially chains, not all are created equal. You got to find a good one.
Correct. Give me my meats. All right, that's it. We're done. I'm out of here. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you for all your input today. Thanks for listening. As always, don't forget to check out all the social media pages and Spotify and the Civic Media app. Have a great day. This is the Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.